Line.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Conscious Business Telesummit. This is Adela Rubio, your host.
Hi, Adela.
Hi.
Hi, it's Alicia from Columbus, Georgia.
Oh, Alicia, it's great to hear you.
Hi, Adela, it's Bylon from San Francisco.
Hello, Bylon. Great to have you here.
See, we were just saying, so I think we're the only ones right now.
Well, you know, I didn't really announce that there's a connection time before the call, and I guess that I need to do that because a lot of people are new, and so I'm going to do that just so that people know that this is a time where, you know, you can get together before the call and just kind of get to know each other a little bit more because I enjoy that personally.
Oh, yeah. Adela, I want to say, because sometimes I don't get to say it very often, I really just want to thank you. I am such a huge fan of what you do, and I really believe so much in you, and that's why every opportunity I just want to be able to support you energetically if I can. You are really just blessing the world with what you do, and I really want you to know that.
Thank you. Because, you know, when you step out and you do something that you feel so strongly, even though it seems that everybody else is doing, or a good number of the norm is doing something else, it's, you know, it can be a bit jarring, but I don't have a problem with stepping out. To have people be the yes with me, to get it too, and be saying, yeah, that's what I find exciting. Because it lets me know, and this is the whole thing, one of my rants has been, because I've been an energy practitioner for decades, and one of my rants has been around, you know, being an energy worker and not really stepping into the world to be the full power of an energy worker. What does it look like? You know, those of us that really know that there's a different way of being, that we experience it in our own inner circles, in our own, like, little inner tribes, how about if those of us that do this, that are this way, how about if we lived out loud?
Right, right.
So
when we walk, we're screaming, not even knowing it, right?
Yeah,
it's open our mouth.
It's that is a personal passion of mine that came out of a frustration, out of being an energetic kind of person, and at one time in my life feeling hypersensitive and, you know, I needed to control my environment because I couldn't show up here and there. And then all of a sudden I got, man, what a bunch of hooey. How can I really be in the world and not be in the world? So I'm excited about, I'm excited about people who are like me. Yeah, of course. And who are different than me too, but we still have this through line of being what we know and what we feel inside that's possible and bringing it out into reality. And so my intent with these Conscious Business Telesummits is to figure out, I figured out some of the pieces already, some of them, but how about figuring out even more so that a whole bunch of us can really step in a big way. For me, that's the way, I wrote an article a while back that I refer to periodically. Transformation begins in your own zip code. This is how this is how we shift the world. So thank you so much for being here, ladies. And let's see.
Adela, this is Bylon. I just wanted to let you know the webinar is not working yet.
The webinar is not working. Well, there is a delay.
Well, I've been trying to get it started. You know, you hit the button for play to listen in, and it keeps buffering and then stopping.
Well, buffering and stopping tends to be bandwidth issues. I mean, that's from my experience. That's some of what it is. I can try to test it out, but it's kind of hard when I'm leading a call. But thanks for letting me know.
Okay. And I also am absolutely thrilled that you're doing this series. Absolutely. The timing's just so wonderful. It's all in right timing, isn't it?
Great. I'm so glad. Yeah, I see what you mean about the webcast. You know, I wish technology were always working beautifully, but sometimes it doesn't. And So hopefully folks will listen to the replay or get on the live call so that we can connect, which is, I think, a very important piece for us to know how many of us there are out there that feel this way, that think this way, and that are ready to be this way. So thank you. Who would like to check in and let us know that you're here?
Hey, this is Sue in Nashville.
Hello, Sue. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Great to hear you. I love accents.
Yeah.
So I'm really enjoying your accent. Thank you, Sue.
Oh, well, good. Always aim to please.
Hey, and you do. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else would like to check in and say hello?
Hi, Adela. It's Rosemary here.
Oh, Rosemary. From across the pond. Great to hear you, darling.
It's good to be here, and I've been listening to what everybody has been saying. It's just fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. And, you know, as I mentioned on the call yesterday, this is a collective energy. There, you know, when you're attracted to something, it's because you are resonant with the energy. And in our coming together, each one of us, being this energy of exploration, of intention, we create something much more powerful than we could all by ourselves. So for me, there's no better wahoo yahoo than you know, coming together with an aligned intention with people who are willing to be aware and awake. So it is a joy and a pleasure to have you here, Rosemary. Thank you, darling, for being here.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Let me just check in on our webcast. I know we had a few questions, so remember to submit your questions. Wonderful. Patricia Drake Scott from Marietta. Is that Marietta, Georgia? Checking in. Great to have you here, Patricia. I think I know who that Patricia is. Welcome, darling. And Alicia from Anaheim, great to have you here. Can't log on, no minutes to call in. Catch you on the replay. Oh, okay. Sorry about that, Alicia. I don't know what's up with the webcast feature today. So great. Great to have you all here. Anyone else on the bridge line would like to check in and say hello?
Hi, Adela. It's Joanne.
Hey, Joanne.
Hello.
Great to hear you. And welcome to the Conscious Business Tribe.
Thank you. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I'm very excited, too. You know, at some point I'll write up everything that's included, but I just wanted to put it out. And there were a couple of people that signed up. So thank you for being one of those early adopter, you know, the unqualified yes. You just said yes. So thank you.
You're welcome. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I didn't mention that I'm going to be dripping in the content of every single telesummit that I've done. So
cool.
At some point, the folks who are in that tribe will have all of this content and even more. So great. Anyone else want to say hello?
Hey, Adela. It's Melanie.
Hello, Melanie.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Great. Thanks for being here.
Hi.
Hi, who's that?
It's Vanessa. How are you this morning?
Pretty good. How are you doing, too?
Good.
And that was, I'm sorry for a second, Vanessa. That was Melanie, my guest speaker, right?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking, because I was like, oh, I didn't announce her as my speaker. Melanie Yost. Great to have you here. Great.
Calling in.
Yeah.
Good.
That's a good thing.
It is always helpful.
Yeah. So, Manisa, great to have you here. I know you've been on the two previous calls. I love it when we've got these folks that are part of this through line. You know, sometimes it's tough to make all these calls, and I know that this was an intensive, this was a fast-track idea that I had. And so I really appreciate those of you that have the flexibility and who are up for being in an intense experience like this. So thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. We appreciate the effort on your part.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I love doing this stuff. It's, you know, it doesn't even feel like work, so so it's good. Thank you.
Hi, this is Patricia checking in.
Hey, Patricia. Good to hear you.
Yes.
This is Patricia that I met when I went to Atlanta, yes?
Yes, Patricia in Georgia.
Yeah.
I called it a little bit. Close.
Great. So I know the line is a little noisy. I just wanted to take one or two more check-ins before we get started, because it is 12:01 already. Anyone else want to check in and say hello?
Good morning. It's Good morning. Susan.
Hi, Susan. Welcome.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And Tanya is checking in from Pendergrass, Georgia. Looking forward to the conversation. Great to have you here, Tanya. All righty. So we are going
Sheila
to get...
Sheila from Florida is here.
Oh, Sheila. Welcome, darling.
Hey, thanks.
Great to have you here. Yeah, this
Great
is a...
Great to be here.
Yeah. This is a juicy topic. So yeah, great. So we're going to get started then. So welcome, everyone, to the Conscious Business Telesummit. This is Adela Rubio, your host, and our topic today is the energy of money with Melanie Yost. And before we get started, we're just going to do a brief connection. So I'd like to do these standing, knees soft. Take a nice deep breath and exhale and just come here, come now. Bringing your full attention to the energy in your body. And on the exhale, just feel yourself relaxing and feeling more fluid and open. Taking another nice deep breath, and on the exhale, feeling your breath as a vehicle that bridges your body and your boundless being. The part of you that is the biggest, most immense, most real part of you, which is the energetic aspect, the fluid movement sourced by life in each moment, and feeling yourself as this bioenergetic portal to life, partnering with creation in each moment, and feeling the connection to one another, to all that is, and to the potential that's on this call around creating a shift around the energy of money. Another nice deep breath and feel this potential rising through your breath, and on the exhale, breathing it out before you like a mist. And just notice if there's any image that arises for you around this potential of the energy of money, and just step into it, moving your body, growing into it, perhaps expanding beyond your current physical space, feeling yourself expanding into the more of the energy of money. A beautiful energetic exchange, which is sometimes misunderstood. And that's why, thank you very much, that's why we have Melanie Yost with us today. And the full topic of the conversation is the energy of money, the three most important steps you must take to master the art of making money while doing what you love. And our guest speaker today is Melanie Yost, who's been called a magician. She has the ability, I love that, she has the ability to take negative situations and create lasting positive results. A therapist for 20 years and now a business mindset coach, she has successfully worked with individuals to transform their lives, their situations, and most importantly, their outcomes. When people are looking for an opportunity to create a 180-degree turn in their finances, beliefs, business, and lives, they seek Melanie's acute wisdom and compassionate touch. And I'd actually kind of been, Melanie, I'd heard about Melanie from a listserv. See, folks, this is where you find the gems and the connections and the relationships that are extraordinary, is in the groups that you hang out in. So I had been seeing Melanie in a listserv that I belonged to, a coaching listserv, for a long time. And I remember when I was at Suzanne Evans' event in New York City, I knew I needed to meet her. And, like, you know, a lot of the times these things don't come from the logical aspect of your awareness. They just come as this hit of intuition, of energy, of movement. And I knew I needed to meet her. So I went up to her and I said, "Hey, Melanie, hi, I've been wanting to meet you." So that's how we met, actually physically met.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
I just knew I needed to meet you. I was like, I have to meet this Melanie, you know, and really not only just having seen her name on the listserv, maybe reading some emails here and there, but not really getting a full bang-on connection yet. But when I was at that event, I knew I needed to meet you. And then we had a conversation, and forget it. It was just like, oh, my gosh, you know, we're like twins separated at birth. We couldn't stop talking. The energy was just moving. And I was like, you know, we've got a partner. We've got to do something together. And,
yes.
Right? That's how it works. And so that's why Melanie is here. She's even though this is a nuts and bolts series that I really wanted you to get the bits and pieces. This is a huge, even though it's not a how-to in terms of a technology or a training about the pieces that you may need to set up your online presence, if you don't really get the energy of money, it doesn't matter what you put out there. It just is not going to move. Because just the way that relationships are created and ideas are created and they come and they flow, money is the same thing. And so I'm really excited to have Melanie, and I was intrigued about what she had to say about the energy of money. So I just wanted to start us off, Melanie. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I love to talk about this.
I know. It's because when you are your work, what I call when you are your work, it's effortless, it's easy, it's fun. And as a matter of fact, at the top of the hour, we're going to have trouble, you know, like ending the call. Because
we'll pull ourselves away somehow.
Yeah, because that's how it flows. But I wanted to start off with a question around, I know that you've got these important steps that you want to take us through. Money is an energy exchange, you know, just like food, just like rest, just like exercise. Why is this particular area challenging for many heart-centered entrepreneurs?
Well, I think that there are lots of reasons for that. I mean, money has gotten, historically, money has gotten a bad rap. I mean, what is that adage, money is the root of all evil?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what many of us believe. And actually the saying is the love of money is the root of all evil. So there's a large, when you look back in history, when money came into existence and all of the civilizations that have risen and fallen because of money, all of that historical stuff sits in the collective unconscious and helps shape our beliefs about money. And then when you look at religions and what religions say about money and about our ability to have money or our right to have money or should we have money, all of that also shapes our collective unconscious. And then in our own personal histories, how our families treated money or reacted with money, behaved with money, thought about and talked about money affects us. So for heart-centered entrepreneurs, all of that's really important in shaping their beliefs about money, because they go into what they do, they want to make a difference in the world, and they want to serve others. And many heart-centered entrepreneurs really feel like it's their ministry. Have you run across that?
Yeah.
Have you heard that from? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And ministry and money, they just, in our minds, don't mix. And there is this unspoken belief system that if you want to help others, if you want to serve others, and you want to make money doing it, that you are not genuine in your desire to help people. There's something seemingly dirty about wanting to make money and help people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is an underlying belief system that creates a lot of issues for heart-centered entrepreneurs.
Yeah, and, you know, I remember that for years. I did every single workshop or training around shifting money beliefs that I could find, and I still had trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Really,
yeah.
It's almost like the more that you seek to shift the belief, the more that it becomes entrenched. Have you encountered that? And if you do, how do you work with that?
Well, what I found is when people really genuinely want to look, there are people who, when they look to shift the belief because they're pursuing the money, and when you pursue money, the more elusive it becomes. And so looking to shift the belief so that you can feel better, so you can be happy, so that you can really look at and release the things that are getting in your way in your life. Because when you're blocked energetically, when money's not flowing, lots of things aren't flowing. Joy's not flowing. Happiness isn't flowing. You're really just blocked energetically.
Mm-hmm.
And so looking to shift that and really doing it for the right reasons as opposed to just pursuing the money in desperation. Does
mm-hmm.
that make sense, the difference between the two?
Yeah, it does make sense. And I found that the minute that I stopped chasing the money and became all about the work, and what fired me up about the work was when money started flowing. And I think that's the same thing that you're saying.
Absolutely. When you start looking to feel better and be happy and enjoy life and enjoy what you do, it does free it up and it does start to flow much, much more freely. But
so,
when you're constantly chasing the money, you're what's driving that is the worry and the scarcity mentality, and that's why it pushes it further away.
Yeah, and this is, you know, this is one of those paradoxical experiences too, because I know that people have this question. So how do you shift your energy around money when the physical world, you know, requires money, and you need to make money? You know, I mean, you need to pay your rent. How do you get out of that place of desperation around money?
You know, there are really three main things that I talk with heart-centered entrepreneurs about doing to get them on the right path to doing that. But one of them is really getting comfortable with receiving money and being in gratitude for what you already have. The quickest way to get out of worry is to be in gratitude. And there's very few people in the United States that have absolutely no money. I mean, poor here in the United States is very different than poor in third world countries. Do you agree?
I agree. And what I'm hearing is that probably some of the problems with this desperate with shifting it is that we're asking the wrong questions.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And being, it's really about recognizing what you do have. It's about shifting your perspective. What is that? There's this quote, the real voyage of discovery is not in seeking new landscapes, but in having new eyes. Shifting your perspective on what is happening in your life and in your relationship with the life around you. Yes.
Mm. And so how do you do that? I mean, that sounds like a great idea.
in theory.
Right? I love that idea. You know, hey, yeah, I'm open to receiving money. So how do you practically implement that? How do you take that idea and weave it into your life?
Well, one of the first places that I think heart-centered entrepreneurs have to start, because many are not here, they have to be aware of where they are. You know, one of the disadvantages to the secret and the law of attraction is I've spoken with many heart-centered entrepreneurs or many people who just think all I have to do is meditate. I just have to visualize and it will, you know, fall into my lap. And I've not heard any stories about a big old bag of money falling in anyone's lap.
Yeah, I was going to say good luck with that.
I know. And so the thing is that you have to, and they don't want to look at where they are. You have to know where you are in order to get where you want to go. And you have to look at the real concrete numbers in your personal finances and in your business finances. You have to really know where you're starting from. It's kind of like if you don't know, if you don't take that step, and that's really hard for people. You know, most of us want to have, we have a guess about where we are. We have an intuitive knowing, but we don't really want to sit down with the checkbook, with the bills, to really get a clear idea of where we are. And not knowing that, it's kind of like calling a travel agent and saying, I'd really like to go to London. She says, great. Okay, so where will you be flying from? I don't know. She can't help you get where you want to go is if you don't know where you are.
Mm-hmm.
So sitting down and getting very clear about where you are is the first practical step I think that everyone must take to begin to get into gratitude, because most of it there's a lot of fear around that, and the fear of where we are. I mean, I just talked with somebody the other day who wasn't opening mail. He was so terrified to look at where he was. He wasn't opening mail, and he was creating a ton of fear and a ton of anxiety that was getting in his way. And the sitting down and really looking at where he was actually a relief.
Yeah, that actually really makes your energy really wonky.
It does.
Yeah.
Avoidance and denial are not, they're not helpful in dealing with anything, truthfully. A lot of people practice those coping skills when it comes to money, because money has so much power in our culture, and we get so freaked out around money because it's very tied to our safety and security. It's a very basic survival. As you said, you know, we need money to survive in our culture. And so money is tied to safety and survival, so it creates a tremendous amount of fear and anxiety.
Yeah, and it's also how we're measured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, not everyone, but it is a standard for, you know, like on anything, you know, how much do you make a year?
Exactly.
You know, it's basic stuff. It's one of those things that labels you. And so I think that's one of the things, too, that when you're talking about receiving money and being in gratitude, receiving has an open kind of energy.
Yeah.
And that's very different than a kind of energy like a label. So just even shifting, just the act of shifting to those energies creates
yes.
a different possibility.
Yes. And when you, one of the things I recommend to people is when they sit down and look at their bills and pay their bills, most of us, you know, when it's time to pay bills, we white knuckle it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
all checks are tear stained and begrudgingly sent out. And that's just not helpful. So how you begin to apply the gratitude is when you sit down and you pay your bills, you are grateful for having the money to send out to pay your bills. And you send it out not just with gratitude, but you send it out with a blessing. Because the truth is, money is energy. And when every time you write a check, you are sending it out in the world, and every check you write touches multiple lives. I mean, think about it. Like, you go to the grocery store and you write the check. That money that you just spent at the grocery store is helping the employees of the store. It's helping the vendors who stock the store. It's helping the suppliers who supply the farmers, the truck drivers who get the merchandise to the store, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that money is touching multiple lives. And when you send it out with blessing and with gratitude, it makes a huge difference.
Oh, that's a beautiful shift from less than, you know, like most of the time it's like, tear the dollar out of my hand.
Right.
It's like, oh, I got to pay, you know, that energy of, oh, I got to pay for this. And then you keep feeling like, you know, it's diminishing. On the contrary, with this blessing, it's like you're feeling the increase.
Yes, it's increasing.
Yeah. Oh,
yes.
Wonderful. Beautiful. Oh, I love that shift. Yeah, so
that feels very different when you think about doing it. When you just close your eyes and imagine paying your bills and writing your checks out with gratitude and sending them out with blessing, it feels very, very different in your body.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. So everybody, take a moment to do that. Just take a nice deep breath. Let's just do that. And just close your eyes for a moment. I don't know, do you do these kind of things with your clients, Melanie?
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to lead us through something around that, just real quick?
Oh, sure.
That'll be nice. Yeah.
So everyone just close your eyes and just think about sitting down, having a nice candle, nice cup of tea or a cup of coffee, and very lovingly pulling out your checkbook holding it in your hands and being grateful for the money that you have, for the money that you've received, and for the money that is coming to you. And then just imagine writing out your bills, each one lovingly written out, holding it in your hand and sending blessings to all of the lives it will touch, all the lives it will enhance, and that in sending it out, it will multiply. And just do that with every check you write, feeling the gratitude for the money that you have, the money that you're receiving, and sending it out with blessings for the lives it's touching, knowing that it's multiplying as it goes. Nice deep breath in. And so it is.
And so it is. You know, as we were doing that, I got images too. One of my favorite things is to support different causes and contribute. And I was just thinking how good it feels when you do that. You know, like when you give to a cause that you love.
Yes.
And you know that you're helping others. It's interesting that we can feel that way about charity and that we can't feel that way about our bills. So
it's true. But
yeah.
It's the same concept.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Wonderful. Thank you. That was a great practical tip. And was that one of one of the important steps, right?
It is the sending it out with blessings. The first one, really getting clear about where you are.
Yeah.
You know, looking at, and it's really important to look at the specifics, what money is coming in and what money is going out. Where are you spending the majority of your money? We all have money leaks. You know, little ways that we leak money. For some people, it's big ways. You know, if retail therapy is one of your stress reduction, there are big money leaks. But for me, like, one of my money leaks is, Starbucks tea. If I'm out and about, I will stop and get a Starbucks tea, and that can add up. And so if you're feeling stressed and anxious about money, just begin to look at where are you leaking it that you don't necessarily need to. Where are you comfort buying? And how can you comfort yourself in different, more nurturing ways?
That's wonderful. I sign up for courses that I never attend.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You're an information collector.
So I'm an information collector for sure. Yeah, and it's such a great that's such a great tip, the money leaks, because just being aware, and it's not that you can't take courses. One of my buddies, Ellen Britt, says, "I don't sign up for anything unless I'm going to implement it within 2 weeks." And
that's a great rule.
Yeah, isn't that great? So
yeah.
So it isn't about, I think, not, you know, investing or spending the money if you're going to, again, it's the energy of it. So
yeah.
If you buy a course and it sits there, the energy, there's no energy exchange.
Right. It goes stale and flat. It's
yeah.
Not flowing freely. See, money, the energy of money is very alive, and it's creative, and it's energetic, and it's transformational. And when it's just sitting there, it is. It goes stale. It goes flat. It's not moving. It's stagnant. That's the word I want. It's stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So really looking at where does that happen? The other place that's really important to look, and this can be challenging, is where are you out of integrity with money? Where are you maybe, thinking about your values and who you are, and how are you handling money that is out of integrity with who you are? You know, do you, like if a cashier, people do this in really small ways, but if a cashier gives you too much change back, do you correct them? Do you give them the change, you know, the difference? Do you, if someone in front of you drops money, do you pick it up and keep it or do you hand it back? You know, are you not reporting some of your income to the IRS? that all of those things can create disturbances in how money flows because we're out of integrity with who we are. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does. And there are so many opportunities. You know, I think that this is another thing, too, is that especially if we have these thoughts and beliefs around money that are not in alignment with what's true about money.
Yes.
And money really is an energy that, and I love how you said it, it's alive.
Yes.
You know, it's alive. And so I remember one of my speakers back, Heather Dominick, was talking about the relationship that you have with money back in November when I did the series then. And I think that what the universe does plenty of times is, especially if you're out of alignment with something, it gives you opportunities to line it up, align the energy. And so it's not like you're being tested or anything like that. It's just about you're being in alignment with what's true. And so in your life, you have opportunities to engage money on a regular basis. And so if we take every opportunity where there's a money exchange to shift or even to explore or open up and get curious around, you know, are we being fully in integrity with money? And it can seem like a really simple thing. Like I can think of something off the top that I will confess I've done. You know, like when folks are going to hear this and they're going to be like, oh, my God, Adele, you did this? Yes, I did.
True confession.
You know, let's say, you know, like, for example, when you sign up for my program, there's a one-time offer that gives you a special price. I've bookmarked that page because I was like, well, you know what, I got to check to see if I can do this, and then I'm going to come back to that page because I want to get the best price that I can. And I know there are people that do that in my series, too, and it's just, you know, instant karma.
Yes, it is. It's instant karma, yes. Because
yeah.
What happens, this is another place where people are out of integrity with money because they want to get the best price.
Yeah.
That they try to get people to reduce their fees.
Yeah.
And it's a devaluing of the other person and of their services, and that is instant karma. You know, because then you attract that back to you where people want to treat you that way.
Yeah, and I can also see the flip side of that, Melanie, and I wonder, you know, in your experience with working with folks, how this can affect people too. Folks that charge very little for their services.
Yes. In fact, that's another thing that I want to talk about is that goes with the receiving money.
Mm-hmm.
And the discomfort that people have in receiving money. And they fall into this trap of reducing their rates, reducing their fees, because they want to help people. There are two things. One, they want their services to be affordable, and they make that choice out of fear because they're afraid people won't afford them. So they're constantly reducing their rates. And that creates the trap because they begin to feel resentful because it's very, very hard to build a profitable business when you're reducing your rates all the time.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I've seen with people that I work with. Some people aren't even aware that their rates are below the norm.
Yes. And there's all kinds of justifications. And I hear this all the time. Oh, well, you know, where I am, this is all that you can charge.
Right.
You know, and there's the economy is really bad. And what I have found about people affording is that people will afford what they want to afford. What they find value in, they will find a way to afford it. And I've seen this over and over and over again. You know, I would have, you know, my therapy practice, I would have people complaining about my rate, but then in the next breath talk about the $500 wardrobe they just bought, you know, this past weekend. People will find a way. I mean, all of us have had a time where we really wanted something, and we didn't have the cash flow at that time to purchase it, but we got really creative. We sold something. We took on extra work. We found a way to afford that thing we really wanted. So people will afford what they want to afford and what they value. And the second thing is that people value what they pay for. And this is a really important lesson I learned when I was in a group private practice that took Medicaid. And so they had no copay or maybe a dollar copay. and even people who had a $25 copay, they valued my work and our work together less than the people who were paying me the full rate. They would often cancel or not show up or come unprepared, whereas the people who were paying my full rate always came prepared. They rarely canceled. They never no-showed. People value what they pay for. I mean, think about when you shop. You know, when you go into Best Buy, you're looking for a computer screen. You know, there's almost always like a low, middle, and high range. Very few people will go for the low range because the thinking is there has to be something wrong with it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the higher price thing is thought of as being the best. People value what they pay for. So those are really important things when you're thinking about setting your rates. Think about those two things and when you're worried about people affording you. But also think about, this is really important, your rates are, when people purchase your services, they're investing in themselves. They're not investing in you. I mean, you know, Adela, if I were to hire you, my thought would not be, gosh, I really want Adela to be able to afford that new car, so I'm going to hire her.
It would be nice if you thought that way, Melanie.
Wouldn't it be? That would be very nice. But my thought would be, I want to work through this issue. I want to become happy. I want to master my inner game. So you know what? Adela is the woman to do that, so I'm going to invest in myself to work with her. So when people purchase your services, they are investing in themselves. And so you have to ask yourself, what is your client worth? It's good to ask, you know, what is my time and knowledge worth, but also what is my client worth? And when we reduce our fees, you take away your client's right to be creative and resourceful and invest in themselves, to find a way to really invest. Because remember, you value what you pay for. And I've talked with lots of people. Well, the courses that you sign up for that you don't attend, you know, are they like the really high end? If you invest $4,000 in a course, are you going to make sure you get there?
Oh, I'm going to confess. I just paid for Jeff Walker's product launch, and that was almost a $3,000 course. But it's not like I'm not going to use it, because I will. But
right.
that is in that particular instance. But there are many others. You are right. I mean, I've got telesummits that I've purchased. That I haven't listened to yet, even though they're on my iPod. But I think that there is something here to be said about when you pay for something, because I remember, oh my God, this is probably 3 years ago, I had some brilliant idea. At the time I was charging, I think, $100 for a coaching session, and I had this brilliant idea that for Christmas I was going to gift everybody with a $50 coaching session.
Uh-huh.
And wouldn't that just be awesome? And everybody would be able to get coached, and or not everybody, but maybe a good number of people that couldn't afford the $100 of coaching, which is really cheap. But
yes,
I mean, that was really
cheap.
Even 3 years ago, that was really cheap. But I thought, I'm going to put it out. Guess how many coaching sessions were purchased?
How many?
Zero.
You're kidding me. Wow.
No.
I was going to guess maybe five.
No. Zero.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is. People really do value what they pay for. When the price is too low, they don't find the value in it.
Yeah, and I like this shift, because I've heard before. I love it when there are new ideas that are introduced in the conscious business telesummit that I haven't heard before. I love that. That gets me excited. Because I've heard a lot around that some of the problems that we have are around the value that we feel that we deliver in our services. But I love this even more, because, you see, this takes it away from it being something personal. And I find that when you make things personal, it's not really as powerful. So this shift of focusing on what is my client worth,
yes,
is to me a powerful distinction.
Yes. How much is their health and well-being worth? How much is their business worth? How much is their, you know, their happiness worth? Whatever it is, your service you're delivering, how much is that worth? And the truth of the matter is, it's priceless. I mean, truly, they're, you know, when I, if I'm sick, you know, I will pay just about any amount of money to feel better, you know, or if I really want to get my business off the ground, I'll pay any amount of money to make that happen. You know, it's kind of like, oh, you know who David Nagel is, right?
Yes.
Well, his private platinum coaching was $100,000 for the year. But he could look at your business, if he accepted you into his program, he could look at your business and help you make $1 million. You know, how wouldn't it be worth it, a 10% investment, if you could make $1 million at the end of the year?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. But most people hear $100,000 and they're like, but it's worth it. So it's how much is your client worth?
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and the other thing, really, you know, my mind just went blank. Don't you hate when you do? Hormones are a cursed thing.
It happens. Well, you know what? Interesting hormones. That just means to me it's a different phase of my life where different characteristics and qualities come into the foreground, and the other ones go into the background because it is a shift.
It is a shift.
It is such a different. I'm telling you, I've been having such a blast since I passed 50, and I'm now 53.
Really?
Yeah, this has been like the best time ever, because really, I think your power comes fully online. And I personally believe that the hormones, and I know this is a digression from the energy of money, but it's not really.
But it's not,
because the hormonal shifts, to me, are a result of an energetic recalibration and a shift in the body, in the physical body. And energetically, especially women, become really, really powerful 50-plus, because there is a redesign that occurs inside. So,
wow. That's really cool. I'd not heard it expressed in that way. That's very cool.
Yeah. So it's brilliant. It's just like this talk about the energy of money. Anything, if you look at it as it's something like, oh my God, this is such a terrible thing. That's one way you can look at it. But you can explore what's different about this experience and being a woman 50 plus and having all these shifts that occur in your body really design you for a different way of living and a different way of being. Just the way that recalibrating the energy of money internally, what we're talking about, may be things that we're dealing with, practical tools. But if you also open up to the experience of these practical physical tools as an energetic experience, as energy an energy of money as a living creation, that every time you write your checks, you're blessing others. You're really being aware of the abundance in your own life and the abundance that is coming in, of when you're setting your rates, that you're really looking to honor your clients and the value and worth that is innate in them and that you can help bring into being. So these physical actions, these tools, these techniques that you're sharing with us, Melanie, when we also feel them fully and experience them in our bodies, the energies of these tools, that's what makes them powerful.
Absolutely. I agree. I agree 100%.
Yeah, because you feel yourself. See, that for me, the energy, and energy is my gig.
My gig, too. Yeah.
I know it is. I know. That's why we're like, you know, fast friends. energy is such, it's something that's experienced, and it really lands your role as a co-creator with life.
Yes.
And so even though we inherited, like, these patterns from our family, patterns from culture, patterns from, you know, media, we can choose a different pattern, which is a different relationship.
And that is, I think that's so key, because the way that I have always done looking at the past with people is it's not in a let's see who we can blame, it's really an information gathering, because knowledge is power. You know, Carl Jung, you know who he is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to sound. But one of the things he says I love is he says, enlightenment is not imagining beings of light. Enlightenment is making the darkness conscious. And so when we dig down and we find out where these unconscious beliefs are, because our unconscious is sending energy out. And that's often how we get mixed frequencies being sent out. When we think about something that we don't have any mixed feelings about that's not tied to our safety and security, we can manifest it, I mean, immediately, pretty much. I mean, mm-hmm. I've had those experiences over and over and over again. It's when we have things that we have unconscious programming or beliefs about, we're sending out mixed energy, mixed messages out into the world. And so we're attracting the energy that is in resonance with that, those mixed feelings, the negative feelings, because thought energy is powerful, but feeling energy is much more powerful. And so if we have these, you know, this conflict about receiving money, even if we're thinking happy thoughts about money, we're sending out that conflict. So that's why it's important to know what it is so you can choose differently. It's not about let's blame or let's dig around and then get attached to our story. It's really about making, having the choice and being empowered to create a different reality for yourself.
Yeah, it's that basic first step that you have to take in getting clear about where you are. And, you know, we have to get clear that, you know, that a lot of who we are, that perhaps, you know, one of my favorite quotes, the unexamined life is not worth living.
Exactly, yes.
Right? It is just to become aware of, you know, like basically I imagine, you know, the Fool card in the tarot, you know, the little bag, you know, that we're carrying around with us that we may not even be aware of what's in it.
Yes.
So that's that first step, and it's not about judgment or blame or anything like that. It's just about to know, to understand, okay, oh, so I've got these. Oh, so this is what's in the bag. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, okay.
It's shining. I call it shining the flashlight in the dark corners.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when you don't do that, we have all kinds of fears, but, you know, once you, oh, okay, I know what this is. Well, let's just take it out, look at it, and choose to keep it or not.
Yeah. So I want to recap the steps to make sure that we've got them all, because I know that there are folks on the call that will be like, what were those three steps?
Well, there's one more. Can I say one more?
Yeah, absolutely.
The third thing I think that really hangs heart-centered entrepreneurs up is the I can't afford mentality. And I run into that a lot, you know, walking around. So I want to ask you guys some questions and be honest in answering them. You know, how often do you walk around saying, you know, I can't afford that, or I don't have the money to do that? You know, if you don't have in your business the help that you want or the support you want, the coach that you want, the marketing that you want, the reason for that is your belief that you can't afford that. So this is a very practical step that I want you to take. And when you have that, well, I'm backtracking, when you have that, you're sending that out, and you're going to draw more people to you as a business owner who can't afford your services. You're going to attract the energy that matches the energy you're sending out. So the way to shift that, or to begin to shift that, is to stop the I can't afford mantra internally and externally and change your language and instead say, I'm choosing to use my resources in different ways right now. So even just say that, okay, think about, you know, I can't afford, and say that, and notice what you feel in your body. The I can't afford is very victim energy, and it radiates victim energy. And then say, I'm choosing to use my resources in other ways right now. And feel how that just feels very different in the body. It's more empowering, it's more solid, it's stronger. That's my other tip.
Yeah, and this is a very important tip. One of my favorite ways to shift is really noticing your language, because we don't even realize, I love that you called it a mantra, because that's exactly what it is. It's almost like this automatic response that you have to things. Oh, I can't afford this. And it's a doggy downer. It really is. right. And it is. When you think about you know, being able to gift yourself with the things that are key for you. And so I love that, first of all, that you're using language, and using this as an opportunity to be at choice, you know?
Yeah.
Right? At cause versus at effect. Because that's the victimhood feel of it, is that being out of effect. It's like, oh, yeah, you have no power. Oh, and also no responsibility.
Exactly, yes.
Both of those. Because the only, you know, we've heard, so many of us, I know, we probably have the same library, you know, about, you know, that you create your own reality. And for years I was mystified with, you know, well, you know, I'm reading these books, I'm seeing Carolyn Mace, I'm going to this one, I'm going to that one. And it just, my reality didn't really seem to shift that much. But that's because I was just reading the books.
You're just taking it as knowledge. Yes. You have to integrate it in and choose the do the practical steps. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that step of just stopping the mantra, you know, just stop the mantra and choose to be, you know, in terms of owning your own power and authority for your energy. Because that's huge, owning your energy.
Well, and what I think, in my opinion, and this is going to be a bold statement, that I think one of the biggest lies that we tell ourselves is that we can't control our thinking. And that's just crap. You know, once you become aware and start paying attention, it takes persistent, the word I want went away, but it takes persistence and consistent, still not coming back. That's like training a dog. You know, when you get a puppy, do you have a puppy?
No, I used to. Yeah, but I know you mean. You just have to, it's got to be regular. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. When you're saying sit, they don't know what you mean, and they're, you know, and the more you work with it, the more they're going to understand what sit is, and then stay, and that's how our thoughts are. And so really being diligent about how, that's the word I wanted, diligent, about how we choose, how our internal dialogue as well as our external dialogue. I recommend people start paying attention to what they say externally, because I'm always surprised how many people have no idea what comes out of their mouth. So start listening to what you say externally and then go to the internal, how you talk to yourselves.
Yeah.
So language is very key, and you can control your thoughts. And by doing that, you take control of your energy and not in an oppressive, dominant way.
Yeah. And this doesn't have to be hard work. You know, it's not like a chore. I know that for me, one of the things that has helped me in being able to, you know, tune into some of the nonsense that used to, you know, roll around in my head and even come out of my mouth is, you know, just a curiosity and a lightness.
Yeah.
Helps, because the minute that you get into judgment, for me, you're in separation from your own brilliance.
Yes.
And so you don't have access to what will help you and support you energetically, because that's the other thing. You're not alone in shifting this energy of money. There are millions of people who are up for this game of shifting the whole equation of money. And so you're not by yourself, and the universe, you know, whatever you like to call it, source, universe, God, you know, whoever works for you, is always ready to partner with you. So you're not alone in this adventure of shifting consciousness, because that's what we're doing here. We are shifting the consciousness of the energy of money.
Absolutely. And we're not only doing it for ourselves, but when we do it for ourselves, we make it easier for other people to do it.
Absolutely. That's the whole thing. It's that, and this is what's so fun, is that in doing it for yourself, you're actually making it available in consciousness for others. So it becomes easier for others to access this experience, this energy, that it's possible, that it's doable, and that they can be it right now.
Yeah.
So, really exciting stuff. Can you recap those three steps? I've got a couple of questions because our webcast here just went kabunk, but a couple of people put in questions, so which is great. And then I know that you were going to share with us about an upcoming call that you've got that you're going to invite my folks to. So
yeah. So the first step is getting clear about where you are. Very important. Really sit down, get clear about where you are, and once you're clear, and do it in love and in gratitude and compassion for yourself. And the practical step of that is when you're writing your bills, this you can start today. When you're writing checks at the grocery store or writing your bills, be grateful for what you have and what you're receiving and what is coming to you, and send it out with blessing to all the lives it's touching, and it's multiplying as it does. The next one is, you know, really think about what your clients are worth and set your prices based on what they're worth. And then the third one is, you know, change your I can't afford mantra and really get conscious about your language and start saying, I'm choosing to use my resources in other ways.
Fantastic. Oh, love those. Thank you so much, Melanie. Those are
great
shifts for folks to make. We had one question from Sheila. She pays her her bills online. Is that any different in terms of energetically how you deal with it?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I mean, because money is, I mean, that's just the age of money now, and money really is just that energy. So when you sit down, because you're looking at, if she does it manually every time you do it, but if it's already set up, just every time you look at your bank account and check at your bank, just be grateful, and the money that's been sent out, you send it out with blessing.
Great. And we had a question here from Jack from Tel Aviv. Can you reconcile taking exorbitant prices just because there are some who are able and willing to pay anything for the promise of salvation? Where is the limit between greed and making friends with money? And I think what Jack is speaking to, perhaps maybe some folks who charge really exorbitant rates or fees, and what is there a balance in that, do you think, Melanie?
I do think there's a balance. I think the balance comes from where we start to get out of balance is if you know that you can really help someone and you're comfortable with what you're charging, because we all have a price point at which we become uncomfortable. And so if you're comfortable that you're charging and you're comfortable with what you deliver for that and people are seeing results and you know you're transforming lives, I think that that's a great thing. Once you move beyond that, or you start to get uncomfortable with what you're charging, or too many people are saying no, that's your clue. When too many people are saying no, that's your clue that it's too high, or you're not delivering, you're not getting the results, or if people aren't getting results. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does. Absolutely. And I think people know when they're being greedy.
I think so too. Absolutely.
Yeah, because it's, you actually, I know that with my pricing, because I know even for some of the things I just recently put out on the call yesterday, I could charge a lot more money than I charged. And it's interesting because folks are going to laugh at me. No, they won't. I think a lot of folks will get this. A lot of times I'll use a pendulum to determine prices. It's one of my favorite tools. I mean, intuitively I'll get a hit, you know, and then I'll just, you know, I'll use my pendulum, because I have beautiful pendulums provided by one of my colleagues who's an extraordinary pendulist herself, Sherry Rainbolt Kren, from the pendulumforum.com, who's fantastic. And just to confirm or even to determine different price structures, but I check in and I do pricing that I feel good with. And a lot of times my intellect will say one thing and I will feel the price as something else, and I go with the price of what I feel.
And that's staying in integrity with your values. And that, I think, is what's most important, because greed is born out of scarcity mentality and falling out of integrity with our values. And that's,
yeah. Yeah, and one of the things, too, that I've been noticing that I just wanted to throw in here, because one of your tips you mentioned, you know, feeling the gratitude and feeling, you know, the energy of money coming towards you. You know, like coming towards you. And I will tell you that I do these telesummits, and you know, I'm in my business, I have a membership site, and I've got, you know, one-on-one coaching. And I don't, it's really interesting, but I surrender the outcome. You know, like I do my strategy, I plan everything out, I set everything up, I price things, and then I just let it go. And I just allow what's coming to me to come to me. I'm not, it's interesting, I was talking to one of my speakers and she didn't get to mail out on time, and one of her list is not very responsive when it comes to buying products, and she was kind of, you know, being apologetic about it. You know, she was being really great. And I was like, listen, don't worry about it. You know, I'm like, whatever goes, goes. Whatever lands, lands. And I think, right, I think that that's a very key piece, because you know that you're doing your work. You're putting out the energy of what really calls to you when it comes to your business, your product, your service. And there comes a part where you have to do all this other, the work in front, where you have to determine your pricing. And this is where this three-step process here that you're mentioning can be really helpful. And then there comes a point where you have to release the outcome energetically and know that it is coming to you in all different forms. Can you speak a little bit about that, Melanie, with what you've noticed with the energy of money, like how it comes back to you?
Well, it, you know, it can come in a lot of different ways. It can come in the form of gifts, like an unexpected gift. It can come in the form of a very generous kindness, and not even in a material way, but very kind words or a kind thing. It can come as a check. It can come in a whole variety of ways.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, and it doesn't, and this is really important, you know, a lot of times we think we know where it's going to come from. Well, if I do this, then I'm going to get this money that so-and-so over here owes me. It doesn't work like that. You just put it out there, and it will come back. And I like to think about money as wealth, and we have wealth and riches in lots and lots of different ways. So begin to look for them and be grateful for them when they come.
Yeah, that's a big one, just acknowledging them, just noticing.
Yeah.
And that's part of that, you know, being in gratitude. Gratitude is, for me, I remember I wrote an article years ago, gratitude is a manifestation tool.
Yes.
Because it's a focus-shifting tool. And the more that you notice the abundance, the wealth that you have in your life, first of all, it's going to blow you away.
Yes.
Because as you were mentioning earlier on the call, people don't realize how wealthy we are. You don't just don't realize how well, what a wellspring of abundance you already have. And
yes.
So gratitude is a fantastic tool for really connecting you with that and making that a reality in your world. So
yes, and gratitude not just for, you know, what you already have, but what you know is coming.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Melanie. We're just like, you know, having a blast, as I knew we would. Can you tell us about the upcoming call that you've got? That I know you're actually going to be launching a group, but I know that you've got a call coming up that you were going to invite the folks in this community to.
I do. Actually, I'm inviting them to listen to a call I've already done, and I will be doing another preview call in a couple weeks that they'll receive an invitation to.
Wonderful.
And it will be to talk about the group that I do. I do a group on the energy of money. And it's really designed to help people get clear, to recognize what their negative stories and limiting beliefs about money that are keeping them stuck, and to techniques on releasing it, because I'm all about the energy, and then how to reset their thinking. So that's what the group is about, and the call will be. And I think that you have...
I've got a link for it, yes.
Yep,
absolutely.
Perfect.
ConsciousBusinessTelesummit.com/money energy. Again, ConsciousBusinessTelesummit.com/money energy. And I will be sending that link out also in an email later on today. And I do want to urge you, if you've been somebody who's been working with, you know, money stuff, and you've been doing it by yourself and reading all the books like I was doing for a long time, and you're still not making any headway, there is nothing, most of you already know how I feel about the power of group energy. There is nothing, especially when it's led by someone who is masterful in a specific expertise, which the energy of money is Melanie's area of expertise. So if you really want to make headway and you want to reset that energy of money button, I recommend that you check out Melanie's call And if she speaks to you, if you have been enjoying her energy on this call just as I have, that's another thing that I've noticed is, you know, having the right mentor. If someone, if their language opens you up, if their energy opens you up, you owe it to yourself to check it out, because chances are that that person can help you along in whatever it is that you're looking to move through. So consciousbusinesstelesummit.com/money energy. Melanie, you have been a delight, my dear.
Well, thank you. I have so enjoyed chatting with you. I thank you so much for inviting me.
This has been fun. This has been great. I'm sure we'll continue playing because you're just doing great stuff, and I love what you're up to. And that's why I shared you with my folks, because you're a gem and a find.
Well,
so
thank you.
Thank you, Melanie. And I'm going to unmute the line so we can say goodbye to everyone.
Okay.
And here we go. Thank you, everyone, for being here. And don't forget to come back for the 4 o'clock call. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you, Melanie.
Thank you. Thank you, Melanie. Thank you, Adela.